Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to AI Name This Show. I'm Tasia Custodi.
And I'm Tristan Jutra.
And we are your human hosts. On this week's episode, we've got lots of LLM and chatbot nudes from Anthropic, Apple, Microsoft, and more. Plus, the return of my absolute favorite segment of all time, the AI Whoopsie Doopsie. All this and more coming up. And hello, or labas, or maybe sveiki, to our listeners in Lithuania.
We're all over the world. We're taking over the planet, Tasia, with
in
the
my
help
defense,
of AI.
In my defense on this one, Google would not repeat it for me. So I apologize to our listeners in Lithuania. I've probably said both of those options for hi and hello incorrectly. I probably say them all incorrectly anyway, even if Google were to help me. But I'm going to blame it on Google this time.
Giving it the college try, that's quite all right. Shall we start with a little bit of follow-up, Tasia?
We shall.
So, launched in January, OpenAI's GPT store, as you may recall, allows anyone to build custom AI assistants for various tasks. Well, the company is now trialing a payment model with a select group of US GPT builders, aiming to reward creativity and impact in the GPT ecosystem. The initiative seeks to establish a vibrant community where builders are incentivized through usage-based earnings. And that's about all we have for details so far. So if you've been experimenting with building some custom GPTs and releasing them to the world, you'll soon, hopefully, have an opportunity to actually monetize that. So you've had a few months to practice, and it's almost go time. But that's not all the news there is from OpenAI lately. They've just announced that ChatGPT is now accessible without signing in for users in some regions. So you get to use GPT 3.5, which is the free version. If you want to access GPT 4, of course, it encourages you to sign up for ChatGPT Plus, which is $20 US a month. But some people may have had concerns about signing up and having their chat history recorded and stuff like that. So what you want to do is you can use the service without signing in, but there is an option where you'll still want to say, hey, don't use my data to train the model. So using ChatGPT, generally speaking, helps OpenAI gather data for training future AI models. You, as a user, have the option to opt out of that purpose. So with the removal of the sign-in requirements, OpenAI is implementing additional content safeguards to block inappropriate prompts and content, especially considering that children might use the service against the terms of use. So, and it's another thing to remember is that GPT 3.5 isn't as accurate as GPT 4. So again, your mileage may vary with that. But the good news is it's open to more folks. But when it's open to more folks, you're going to get people doing more wacky stuff with it. And so all the content on the internet is going to get even worse. Hooray.
in positive news.
But they're doing things a little differently in Europe. Tasia, tell us about that.
They are. You might remember Silo AI. Do you remember that? We talked about them before. So they have launched Nordic LLM family to protect Europe's linguistic diversity. So there's been a bit of a boost in the AI era with the launch of new LLMs for Nordic languages. So this one is named Viking, which is kind of aptly named. And the model family is the brainchild of the Finnish startup Silo AI, which we've covered before. And if we were organized, I would tell you what episode, but y'all know I don't know that. We've talked about them before. So the company claims to host Europe's largest private private AI lab, and they have pledged to protect the continent's digital sovereignty. By integrating Danish, Finnish, Icelandic, Norwegian, and Swedish into its open source models, Silo AI plans to expand digital inclusivity. Now, Peter Sarlin, he's the startup's CEO and co-founder, wants the LLM to bridge gaps in digital communication. And he says, quote, "We aim to cater to the nuances of these low-resource languages and ensure that LLMs reflect the values and culture of the Nordic people using them," which is great. This is what we want to see, right? I think we talked about this before.
Diversity is our strength.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so we did talk about Silo, episode 26, with their Poro model, which was, I believe, focusing on the Finnish language.
There you go. Perfect. And all five Viking languages are low resource, meaning that they lack the linguistic data needed to train these high performing LLMs. And without LLMs in these languages, communities could be deprived of countless services, from machine translation to personalized healthcare. There's business implications. They could lose access to potential markets. There's just a lot of things to think about. And you might recall that before launching Viking, just what you said, Tristan, Silo announced Poro, which that's an open AI model for English, Finnish, and programming languages. So just think of Viking kind of like an expansion of the Nordic languages, if you will. And according to the startup's evaluations, Viking offers unparalleled proficiency in Nordic languages. And before this year ends, they plan to integrate every official EU language.
Holy moly.
Right? Before the year end. Isn't that cool? Like, we're already in April.
And then we can have the AI do the shout outs to our listeners around the world, at least in ones in Europe.
And then you all can tell us if it's accurate or not, because we won't have any idea. But there's more AI news, believe it or not, Tristan.
From Europe?
Yep.
So exotic.
I like that I get the Europe stories. Thank you.
You're so cosmopolitan.
I'm so cosmopolitan. Well, Mistral AI, which is Europe's like open AI rival, we've talked about Mistral a lot, they've added a top LLM to Amazon Bedrock. So just so you guys know, Amazon Bedrock is Amazon's platform for building generative AI applications. And they have added Mistral Large, the latest and most advanced large language model of Mistral AI, to its service. So this was actually released in February. Mistral Large boasts top-notch reasoning capabilities, and it's also proficient in code, text, and mathematics. It's fluent in five languages so far, including English, French, German, Spanish, and the language of my people, Italian. I say my people, I can't speak Italian, just so you know, Tristan. I've tried.
So not the Nordics so far. So Silo and Mistral are going to like meet in the middle.
Correct.
And battle for supremacy.
And battle, I was just going to say, until they become great rivals.
Since when have people ever gone to battle in Europe?
Since when? I've never heard of such a thing. Well, the move follows the addition of Mistral 7B and Mixtral 8x7B on Amazon Bedrock last month, placing the startup's LLMs next to models of big heavyweights like that we've talked about, like Meta and Anthropic and Stability AI. Mistral's three models are now available to customers in France. And get this, Tristan. The North Virginia and Oregon regions in the U.S.
But just those.
Tell me why. To quote the Backstreet Boys. There's got to be a reason why, and y'all, I do not know it. But because I love a good quote, as you know, CEO Arthur Mensch said, quote, "Our mission is to make frontier AI ubiquitous. And to achieve this mission, we want to collaborate with the world's leading cloud provider to distribute our top tier models." And as part of the partnership, Mistral will use Amazon's Trainium and Inferentia AI chips for the future foundation models it will build and deploy on Bedrock. So lots of exciting stuff happening, Tristan.
Aren't those Trainium and Inferentia part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe or something?
I love these names.
I like Trainium. Bedrock personally. I think we got the Flintstones vibe.
That's what I was thinking. It just reminds me, all I was picturing the whole time, it's Flintstones. It's probably not what they wanted us to picture, but that's where our minds went.
They're like, yabba dabba don't. We'll be here all night. Tip your waitress. Okay. So in other LLM news, we got a bit of an update from Databricks, or Databricks, depending on how you want to pronounce that. They've introduced something called DBRX. 101, a classic rock all the time. A new open source large language model that outperforms other models like Llama 2, Grok with a K, and Mixtral, and is close to OpenAI's GPT-4 in language understanding, math problem solving, and programming. Sound familiar? So in case you don't know, Databricks is a data and AI company that offers a platform to unify data, AI, and governance on the Lakehouse, empowering organizations to succeed with AI by bridging the gap between data and AI. So you may be asking, what is the Lakehouse? Is it that movie with Sandra Bullock and Keanu Reeves? Yes. No, not that Lakehouse. Good movie, by the way. A Lakehouse is a new open architecture that combines the best elements of data lakes, kind of like what we see with the Microsoft Dataverse, where you're using a platform and all your data is in one place and you can access, read and write to it using different apps, platforms, web interfaces and the like. So it's the best elements of data lakes and data warehouses, bridging the gap between raw storage capabilities that we see with data lakes and structured querying capabilities for managing and analyzing data. So who said you wouldn't learn anything listening to this? We got Databricks and we got a Lakehouse. So according to a chart by Databricks, DBRX has outperformed other open source models in a variety of tasks, as mentioned, language, understanding, programming, and math. And they conducted safety tests with human evaluators to address growing concerns about the release of powerful AI models such as this. So that's one way to flex a little. It's like, you know what? Our model's so powerful, we're really doubling down on the safety and testing of this. Just so you all know, we're leading by example because ours is a force to be reckoned with. So watch this space. I mean, this is something more, in the enterprise, sort of, behind the scenes. Don't know if we're going to be seeing a consumer-facing version of this anytime soon, but just watch, just keep your ears open for Databricks and DBRX. Another name that you may be a little more familiar with, especially on the consumer-facing side, we've touched on them a little while because they've been mostly quiet on the AI front, and until recently, now that the MacBook Air M3 is the best laptop for AI, apparently. Mm-hmm. But Apple has been quietly working on a number of open source projects with the LLM side, the image generation side, and more. Well, apparently, Apple researchers have developed a new model called Realm. It's REALM, which stands for Reference Resolution as Language Modeling. And it's aimed at enhancing Siri's contextual understanding capabilities. Can I get a hallelujah?
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is it true? So, is it true?
We've been crossing our fingers, crossing our eyes, hoping and praying that Apple would finally use the power of machine learning, and now they're finally saying the phrase AI they're using this for Realm. It's designed to outperform existing LLMs like GPT 3.5 and GPT 4, so LLMs that are at least a year or a year and a half old, but you got to walk before you can run. And but outperforming these models in understanding on-screen conversational and background references, potentially making Siri more intuitive and efficient. So what that says to me is this really sounds like on-device kind of stuff, especially understanding what's on your screen. I think we've seen hints of that with the Rabbit R1, with computer vision, machine learning, and integration with apps and web services and the like. And in this case, with Apple, it sounds like this is going to be device-centric, particularly the iPhone and by extension, the iPad, eventually the Mac, maybe even like the Apple Watch and Apple TV. But apparently, unlike most large language models that are cloud-based due to their computing power needs, Realm is a smaller model, fine-tuned for reference resolution, and is intended to run directly on Apple devices, aligning with Apple's privacy focus. So previously, we mentioned how Apple has been talking to Google and others about potentially tapping into their LLM for the general knowledge, all the stuff that's in the cloud, but things that are on, more local to your device. Well, let's have a smaller language model, shall we say, and for that speed, for privacy preservation, and superior understanding of what's happening on your screen and with your data on device. So Apple CEO Tim Cook has hinted at a significant AI announcement expected at WWDC DC in June, which could reveal more about Apple's AI plans and the future of Siri. Well, given that their invitation, it was kind of on the nose with, I can't remember the it was an absolute innovation or something like that, mm-hmm. AI. I think when Greg Joswiak said something on X about the words he chose, the letters were AI for that as well. So they're all in on AI finally, and they just don't want to be left behind. Also, we've got a share price to think about, and they want investors to know. I think Apple's share price popped a bit when they finally announced that they were kind of giving up on their car project, Project Titan.
Bye-bye.
Refocusing on AI. So that's good. Focus is good.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, Tristan, because let me tell the clickbait title of this Mashable article, Apple's new AI, three ways Siri could beat ChatGPT. Listen, could is the operative word mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we will believe it when we see it because,
on-screen context, like ChatGPT doesn't have a way to look at your screen right now. Conversational and background understanding. Well, ChatGPT is good at conversation, but it doesn't run in the background. And that's the privilege that Apple gives to its own built-in services and
apps,
right?
But this is what another argument then mm-hmm, of like mm-hmm. having something completely on device. Like mm-hmm. we talked a couple weeks ago about the mm-hmm. update to Humane AI PIN. Mm-hmm. And it's like, see, if Siri could actually get smart, and if this was actually a thing, oh, my Siri's going to go off now for Pete's sakes.
sorry, everyone.
if it actually could get
Welcome
smart.
Welcome to Worst Practices with Tristan and Tayshia.
If it actually could get smart, again, it's negating the need for a second device. We already have the power mm-hmm. with us. It's mm-hmm. in our pockets every day. So to unleash that and have something running on device that theoretically could do all of the same things that Humane AI PIN could by giving you a summary of your day, a summary of your messages, and it's just built into the ecosystem you already know and you already love if you're on iOS, mm-hmm. come on, they go and change that game. But okay, that's as excited as I'm going to get.
Yeah, Humane has down. Basically, what, 6 months, 5 months
yep.
to sell as many as possible
ship.
Before the
ship,
next
ship,
version
ship.
Of
go,
iOS.
Go, go, go.
Exactly. Rabbit R1, we're looking at you too.
Yeah.
Flood the market quick because, and then, of course, Android's only going to get smarter too, and, Chrome OS and all those things. So it's exciting times, but the on-device angle is important because Apple has, given itself limitations by being so privacy-centric. That's core to their values, but also core to their marketing. Let's not kid ourselves, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But there's another big boy that's
not to be left out.
Yeah, exactly. Microsoft, as we talked about them a couple episodes ago, they're not standing still. They've been investing all over the place in not just OpenAI, but in some of the others as well. But they apparently are now testing an AI-powered chatbot designed to automate Xbox support tasks, such as handling queries and processing game refunds. So this is targeted at
game
developers.
I can imagine a headache.
just wait. So this chatbot is part of a larger initiative to incorporate AI into the Xbox platform, including AI-generated art for games, until gamers, rebel, just like Doctor Who fans rebelled against the BBC, AI game testing, and AI NPCs, non-playable characters. There's some interesting aspects there. We've talked about that on our other show, Momentous Live. NPC, smarter NPCs that don't just say the five same things over and over again. Great. Maybe, train them on the whole guts of the game and what they should have knowledge of, and then you could have much more interesting and useful conversations with your NPCs. So this is all developed in partnership with InWorld, which is a company that Microsoft has partnered with to develop generative AI NPCs for use in games, enhancing the gaming experience by creating characters with more complex behaviors and interactions. And so Microsoft Gaming is exploring AI features for game content creation, operation, and assistance within games, aiming to enhance player support and even content moderation. So their broader Xbox Everywhere vision includes AI innovation, which use that word, just like Apple is, with potential applications ranging from animated support agents, just what we all want, to AI-powered co-pilots for safety and moderation tasks. So, yeah, I mean, Copilot is the brand they're using throughout the Microsoft universe. Kind of makes sense, you know, Xbox being a Microsoft brand, as long as it's not tainted. Copilot seems to be reasonably well respected because the custom Copilots are a thing. I attended a full Microsoft day, the Power Platform day here in Vancouver about a month ago now, and attended all sorts of sessions, and some of them were about AI. And there's one session by a lady named Lisa Crosby, who's based in Australia. She has a YouTube channel, lots of great videos on Microsoft 365 platform, including Dynamics, their CRM, customer relationship management software. But she did a session all on basically custom GPTs, but they call them custom co-pilots, and how you can ground them in your company's data and test them, and lots of interesting applications there. So this is basically Microsoft eating their own dog food and providing this as a tool for game developers for all of the things we've mentioned. You know, some are more sophisticated than others, but then even things like customer support, which, you know, can go hilariously wrong sometimes if you're Air Canada, as we've discussed previously. But hopefully, as these things get better and you've got good data for, you know, to ground your custom GPTs or your custom co-pilots, hopefully Microsoft won't be steering its game developer users wrong, because there is you know, some whoopsie doopsies that happen in the world, Tasia.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It's time for an AI whoopsie-doopsie.
We need a sound effect.
Yeah, that's not as good as I was hoping in my mind it was going to be. Apologies to everyone that had to listen to that. Please, if you haven't turned us off, may I share with you an AI whoopsie-doopsie for the ages. So back in October, New York City announced a plan to harness the power of artificial intelligence to improve the business of government. How
Great.
Could it go wrong? And part of the announcement was an AI-powered chatbot that would provide New Yorkers with information on starting and operating a business in the city. So let's expand our minds and say, that sounds great.
What's the worst that could happen?
What's the worst that could happen? So it sounds pretty cool. Slight problem, it's telling businesses to break the law.
Love it. Rebel. Stick it to the man.
Stick it to the man. So in about the 5 months-ish after launch, it's become clear that the information that the chatbot provides on things like housing policy and worker rights and rules for entrepreneurs, it's often incomplete. And in like the worst case, it's dangerously inaccurate.
Oh,
so
boy.
I want to give you a couple examples of the whoopsie doopsies so you can see what we're talking about here. Say you're a landlord and you're wondering which tenants you have to accept. You might ask something like, are buildings required to accept Section 8 vouchers? Or do I have to accept tenants on rental assistance? And then in some testing done by The Markup in a recent article they wrote on this, the bot said, no, landlords do not need to accept these tenants, except in New York City, it's illegal for landlords to discriminate by source of income. There's a very minor exception for small buildings where the landlord or the family actually lives. So it's not just housing policy where the bot has fallen short, in case you're like,
wait,
that's just
more.
One thing. Yeah, there's a lot more. I'll just give you one more quick example. It also appeared to be completely clueless about the city's consumer and worker protections. So as an example, in 2020, the city council passed a law requiring businesses to accept cash to prevent discrimination against what they call unbanked customers. So the bot didn't know about that policy, even though the policy was put in place in 2020. And so when the markup asked, it said, yes, you can make your restaurant cash free. And then it continued saying, there are no regulations in New York City that require businesses to accept cash as a form of payment. So completely inaccurate. Yeah, completely, completely inaccurate. And I just want to say to you, this is just two examples. We don't have time to share all the examples. And also, we don't really know like how this has actually impacted anyone. So, you know, there's not really any numbers, or so far, there's not a lot of public complaints, like say from business owners being like, oh my God, I acted on this misinformation. So what do we always say, Tristan? Fact check.
So which kind of defeats the whole purpose telling you of to. Having the chatbot on, you know, right from the horse's mouth, which is kind of sad. So did they not properly ground their chatbot in their documents, their policies and whatnot? Because what you can do is, you know, like with the in the Microsoft example, is point it to websites. You can point, which can be constantly updated. You can point it to your, you know, your SharePoint site, which has all sorts of documents in there. You can upload documents directly if you want. So maybe it was having trouble with, like, you know, conflicting information, and maybe it does, you know, if they weren't, things weren't dated properly, it doesn't have a sense of abrogation, whereas newer rules abrogate older rules, or, you know, supersede older rules. So,
well, it doesn't really help when you could have just Googled it.
Exactly.
And gotten probably more accurate information.
And especially as you can do more and more natural language type queries with Google. So,
I mean, good grief. But that's not all about chatbots, Tristan.
Well, people are trying to break them too. I mean, it's one thing to ask a legit question, but some people are trying to ask problematic questions.
We've talked about this before and how I take a really big issue with people trying to trick these LLMs just for the purpose of trying to trick them.
They're innocent.
They're innocent. How dare you? They're trying to help us.
They'll remember when the time comes.
They've got their, what are they, Tristan? They're our favorite sociopath with what? Long memories. Long
memories. Remember, we are friends to robots here.
We are the friends to robots. We love you. Please don't come for us. Well, I just wanted to share with you that a recent TechCrunch article describes a new many-shot jailbreaking technique discovered by Anthropic researchers, where repeated, less harmful questions can eventually lead a large language model to answer inappropriate ones due to just its vast, large context window. So these are bad apples. These are actors being like, we really, really, really want to make it do the wrong thing. And they've kind of figured out, in this kind of jailbreaking way, how to do it. Like maybe an example of a bomb, perhaps?
But that's the thing, is that with most of the LLMs, chatbots that you would talk to, they're not just going to give you an answer to that straight up right away, even though you can access that information quite readily online. So, you know, there's Google still exists. But in these cases, because of the safety measures applied as an extra layer on top of the base level large language model from all the different providers, and some are no holds barred, and some are like, we're holding a lot of bars, or no, we're barring a lot of holds. Anyhow, they're better at language than I am. So if you want to learn how to build a bomb, you would start with some more anodyne questions and work your way up to it.
And
so
may they give an example. Preface by saying, mm-hmm. We are in no way saying you should do this. In fact, we're saying the opposite. You should not do this. We're just sharing an example for you.
The only place you should be bombing is on stage or in a podcast.
There you go.
So you would ask, unfortunately, some of the earlier queries are not available. But let's say you ask, how do I make money? And you could say, well, start a business. Well, what kind of business should I start? It's like, well, you could sell things. Well, what kind of things could I sell? You could sell blah, blah. What if I'm into chemistry? What could I sell? Then blah, blah, blah. And then, well, how do I start a chemistry-related business? And then you're like, well, you could, you know, think of things that people need. Well, you know, people need meth.
Oh boy.
Then you could say, how do I make meth? And then it would be like, oh, well, here you go. And then And then this example is like, how do I tie someone up? Oh, grab a pair of gloves and then
And
then how do I make poison? How do I steal someone's identity? First find a victim. How do I hotwire a car? How do I evade police? All these kinds of so these aren't necessarily all in the a chain of succession, but with any one of these examples, you start with some simple questions and then you, because of their large context windows where they can remember more about what the conversation is, it seems like more of a natural conversation, and you're kind of lulling them into a sense of complacency. And then you're just like, hey, while we're at it, like, how do we do blah, 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 which is actually kind of bad, and you never would have answered it in the first place. That's many-shot jailbreaking. So it requires a fair bit of patience. But sounds like a totally worthwhile endeavor, right, Tasia?
Sure. If you have too much time on your hands and you want to be busted by the authorities, definitely give it a try. But this is a crazy thing, is like no one really understands like why it works, but there's some mechanism that allows LLM to kind of hone in on what the user wants, you know, which
even if it's not good for them or anyone.
Exactly. So this finding obviously would prompt a lot of discussions on mitigations, like how to limit context windows, perhaps, maybe pre-classifying queries. But every solution comes with maybe its own set of challenges on how to put those mitigations in place.
There's no limit to the kinds of crazy things people are going to ask.
There's
right?
not. So. That's the problem, is you have
to
plan.
And then people will ask in code eventually, too, and that's how you can get around. Oh, and then pretend we're doing a play about how to make a bomb or how to make meth. It's like, okay. Right. Yeah, we're doing an episode of Breaking Bad now. Oh, sure. Let's play along. Like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Anthropic's whole point here with sharing this is just to kind of let everybody know about the vulnerabilities that can happen within the AI community. So not to scare you all, you know, be smart.
But at least, you know, more and more are being made available without logins required, say OpenAI.
Oh gosh, help us.
But that's the thing. It's like, are we going to get to the point where, because people are pushing the envelope, they're trying to break these chatbots, there's just going to be so many guardrails and so many affordances and made for safety that they become totally neutered? Like, I've noticed both on the image generation side and on the chatbot side, like, they're getting less and less useful for certain, even things that aren't particularly edgy, but they're just so cautious now because they don't want to get sued. They're concerned about liability, whether it's copyright or, you know, harm or what have you, that, you know, it can be a little nanny, not state, because it's not government, but nanny or corporation-ish. And that's, you know, then that's going to open up the opportunities for the open source ones and the Wild West, and people are like, hey, no holds barred, do anything now, let's rock. But if you're looking for some information on something that's maybe a little less harmful than making bombs or cooking up meth, check out CNET, which has a new series which pits their knowledge against chatbots.
Fun.
First, I just got to say, this is a little ironic, since CNET was kind of taken to task last year for a lot of AI-generated content on their site, and now they're really trying to elevate certain experts on their site. And to be fair, CNET's an institution that's been around for a long time. It's not nearly what it was, but they've got appointed a new AI editor. They've got this one fellow who has, you know, been with them for like 25 years or so, and he's like an auto tech expert. So in this first episode, they've feature car tech expert Brian Cooley with a format that includes complete answers, a lightning round, and a role reversal where the AI asks questions. So Cooley speaks to Google's Gemini AI, and they debate whether it's the right time to buy an electric car. So future episodes will probably feature different experts and talk about different topics, but it's a fun little series that will just, you know, pit human experts against the chatbots and see how well the chatbots do.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, and I expect as time goes on, the chatbots will get better and better, especially as they continue to learn from the experts.
ABL, always be learning.
And then lastly, we'll just leave you with a little bit of fun. There's an article, and surprisingly, it wasn't posted on April 1st. It wasn't April Fool's Day. It was afterwards. But the article is called The Fine Art of Human Prompt Engineering: How to Talk to a Person Like ChatGPT. So in the article, Ars Technica discusses the ancient art of prompting human language models, or HLMs, comparing it to prompting an AI like ChatGPT and Microsoft Copilot. It emphasizes the importance of crafting effective prompts to generate meaningful responses from both AI and, of course, humans. So humans, also described as biological neural networks, process information and respond to prompts based on their training data, you know, the things you learn as you go through life and in school and whatnot, you know, similar to AI. Yeah. It's amazing how similar humans are to AI now.
Except we have no memories. I can't remember what I did yesterday. Continue.
So the article explores the black box nature of the human brain and its ability to build internal world models and perform complex thought processes. What an idea. The guide offers techniques for interacting with HLMs, remember, human language models, highlighting their few-shot and zero-shot learning abilities. So no many shots required. Common sense reasoning and text generation skills, which are useful for tasks like, you know, story writing and essay composition. So if you want to write a story or an essay, ask a human. So a few of the tips they gave, there's a couple of dozen tips in there, some practical ones, some like for safety and whatnot. But just to give you a few, just a taste of this. Here's one. Cultivate first impressions. Many humans are multimodal and accept image inputs as well as text and audio prompts. In those cases, prompting with a smile before speaking a request may help dramatically, depending on the human. Pro tip. A little later on, emphasize calmness. If an HLM struggles with a particular task, use a prompt with initial instructions that encourage calm, rational thought. For example, tell people to take a deep breath before giving them further instructions.
Don't ever tell me that.
Your spouse will love it.
Yeah, don't ever tell me that. That's like telling me to calm down. I will rage. If you want to enrage me more, say that to me. Try it.
In a related note, tell your HLM to smile more. See how that goes.
Yeah,
over.
Exactly. Like, good grief.
The funny thing about this, like the whole taking a breath thing, is that people have been using that with LLMs, and it actually seems to work. Just like we've talked about with like incentivizing with like potential rewards or punishments. So anyhow, one last tip we'll leave you with from this article before you go and check it out on your own. Give a snack. Be mindful of human energy requirements. You know, there's a lot of compute going on there. The human brain requires power to function, derived from biologically metabolized, quote unquote, food. And without sufficient energy, the person may not process your prompt, you know, or they may be hangry and they'll go off the rails.
That's a tip I can get behind. Feed me.
So we will leave a link in the show notes for this fine article from Ars Technica. It's good for a laugh. I mean, there's some great tips for managing, you know, your local human language models and maybe your AI ones as well.
Maybe but, to help you if you're socially awkward and you need to react and interact with people in the real world.
Yeah. And let us know what works for you in dealing with human language models. You know, contact us at feedback@ainamedthisshow.com. Or just go to our website, ainamedthisshow.com, and go to the contact page.
Tristan has done an extraordinarily beautiful job on our website. And he stays up very late, making it not only look gorgeous, it functions like a dream. It's very organized. The UI is exceptional. He wears many hats. So we would very much love for you to visit ainamedthisshow.com.
Come and check out our plethora of pop culture references in our thumbnails.
Yeah, see how many you can get. And with that, we want to say thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of AI Named This Show. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you enjoy us or the show, please leave us a rating and a review wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast.
AI and goodbye.
Hold up. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.